faith seems to be rather simple, and we can think of it in terms of either you've got it or you don't have it. But it's more complicated than that. And in the Gospel of
And we've seen it from the very beginning of in this series on John. We've seen it from the very beginning that some people who believe, who seem to believe, have a very shallow faith. At one point it said that Jesus didn't entrust himself to people because he knew what was in people. And right after that, Nicodemus comes to him to talk to him. And Nicodemus, on some level, seems to have faith, but it's a very inadequate faith. And so a lot of John shows that, and we're going to see more of that today. But faith is a rather complex thing. And if you look at your own life and think about your own faith, you will no doubt recognize that there have been high points and low points, and that... And over time, hopefully, you can also see that your faith has grown. So we're going to look at an incident today, some parts of which just seem really puzzling. But when you get the picture that this is actually a journey of faith that's going on, I think the different pieces begin to make sense. John chapter 4. I'm going to start reading with verse 43. This immediately follows after the incident of Jesus and the Samaritan woman. In the first 26 verses of chapter 4, he has had this dialogue with this woman of Samaria. Then she goes into town, very impressed with what she's seen in Jesus, asking, could this be the Messiah? And the Samaritans come out. They ask Jesus to stay with them for 2 days. And at the end of that time, they say to the woman in verse 42, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." Interesting thing about that we noticed last week was that they saw no miracles. As far as we know, nothing is said about a miracle. And when they identify why they believe, they say it's because we have heard for ourselves, which has introduced to us one of the themes of John, and that is not that seeing is believing, but that hearing is believing. And that while seeing miracles, and John has plenty of miracles in it, they're called signs, while signs are important, It's a higher level of faith when somebody comes to faith because of what they hear and not simply because of what they see. And we'll see that interspersed in this as well. So following this incident with the Samaritans, starting with verse 43. After the 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, for they also had been there. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick in Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. "Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders," Jesus told him, "you will never believe." The royal official said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus replied, "You may go, your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, "The fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour." Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he and all his household believed. This was the second miraculous sign that Jesus performed, having come from Judea to Galilee. Interesting incident with some things in it that at first glance either don't make sense or don't seem quite right. Begins by saying that he had, after 2 days, 2 days with the Samaritans, he left for Galilee. What's happened is Jesus spent his growing up years in Galilee, in Nazareth. He began his ministry in Galilee. But he has traveled south to Judea. He was there for the Passover. There was the beginning of opposition to him among the religious leaders in Judea. After a while, he then goes again to the north. He goes through Samaria, which was a cursed country, according to the Jews. He spends time with the Samaritans, who were almost the last people on earth, not the very last ones. The Gentiles would be the last ones, I suppose, but next to the last that the Jews would ever think would accept the Messiah. And Jesus finds receptivity among the Samaritans. The outcasts are the ones who are receptive to Jesus. Then he continues, after 2 days with the Samaritans, he continues north into Galilee. He goes back to Cana, where he had performed his first sign. And sign is a very important word in John. We'll come back to that. He had performed his first sign there. He goes back to Cana. Then notice there's an insertion here. A little John, as he does sometimes, steps from behind the curtain and says something. Now, Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. Okay. Aside, that explains something about what's going on next. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They seem receptive, right? They're welcoming him. And yet, there's that note inserted that a prophet has no honor in his own country. These Galileans had seen what Jesus had done in Jerusalem, and there's reason to believe that part of what he had done there that's not recorded was that he had performed miracles. They'd been there for the Passover feast. They had seen these things. They were impressed. They welcomed him. That is, at the outset, is telling us something about faith, or what appears to be faith and isn't. They welcome him. In Judea, the religious leaders were rejecting him, becoming more and more hostile towards him. The Galileans seemed the very opposite, but they're actually not so much the opposite. They aren't hostile to him, but they also don't believe in who he is. The word sign in John is very important because a sign points to something. Jesus' signs were not an end in themselves. When he healed someone or he did something else that was miraculous, that was not meant to simply call attention to itself. And yet for some people, that's exactly what it did. The Galileans are an example of people who are impressed by Jesus. Impressed by what he does, impressed by what he says, impressed something about his person, and yet don't really believe who he is in any depth. It's a shallow believing, if you please. We still have that today. Muslims believe in Jesus as a prophet, not as God in the flesh, not as the Son of God, but he's a prophet. They're impressed with that part of it. Jehovah's Witnesses are impressed with Jesus. In fact, they own him as their own, but they believe that he's Michael the Archangel. Did you know that? Most people don't. He was Michael the Archangel, and then he came into the world and he was called Jesus, and when he left, he's Michael the Archangel again. First born from all creation, they say, which means he was created. He's not God in the flesh. They're impressed with Jesus, but they don't have any idea who he is. There are other people who are even atheists or agnostics or unbelievers of one sort or another who are impressed with something about Jesus. Thomas Jefferson wrote something compiled something that's called the Jefferson Bible. And if you ever get a chance to find a copy of it, what you will find is, you're going to find a lot that's missing. It's the Jefferson Bible. There's no Old Testament. That's gone. There are no miracles. That's gone. There are no claims to deity. That's gone. So what's left? Ethical teachings of Jesus. Jefferson liked those. He just couldn't buy the rest of it. Impressed with Jesus, but he had no idea of who Jesus really was. And there are a lot of people today who are impressed with Jesus, drawn to him in some sense, and in that sense look like they have some sort of belief, but the belief is very, very shallow, and it doesn't get to the core of who he is. We need to keep, as we go through John and just as we think about life, what we need to keep in our minds is that Jesus didn't come just to impress us. But they were impressed. He was the miracle man. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Come one, come all. See the astonishing Jesus. He will astound. He will dazzle. He will amaze. Miracle man. But nothing deeper. That's their level. But there's another level of believing that we see in the royal official. A royal official comes to Jesus from Capernaum. The journey from Capernaum to Cana was about a day's journey. So he has traveled for a day to get to Jesus. He illustrates what you might call the beginnings of a lot of people's faith that begins in desperation. The man's desperate. His son is dying. He's a royal official, which probably means that he's one of the high officials for Herod Antipas. And this is a man of power and of wealth. And he can't do anything to save his son. A lot of us can connect with that. A lot of us can understand that. I mean, if you're a parent and one of your children was dying, or even just very sick, you can easily come to desperation. When all of your resources are gone and you feel helpless, if you could, you would put yourself in their place. You would take their illness. You would take the accident that they've had. You would take it on yourself if you could, but you can't. So this man has a son who's dying, and he's desperate. He comes to Jesus not because he has so much faith, but because, who knows, maybe Jesus can do this. He's heard about him. He's heard about what he's capable of. Maybe the miracle man, maybe this one can actually give some hope to my son. What Jesus says to him seems to be rather harsh when he says in verse 48, unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, you will never believe. Here this guy's desperate for the life of his son, and Jesus says that to him. That seems pretty harsh. I want you to notice a couple of things about it, and I like the way the NIV translates this. Some of your translations may have something along the lines, unless you see signs and wonders. NIV translates it, you people. Where I was growing up, it might be you guys. In the southern U.S., it's y'all. Okay? It's plural. That's the idea. He's not just speaking to the royal official. He's speaking to the whole crowd. The Galileans who sort of believe, but only believe in him as a miracle man. You see, at this point, the royal official doesn't have anything that's deeper than what the rest of the Galileans have. The only difference is he's desperate. A lot of us have found that the beginnings of our faith began in desperation. Maybe Jesus can do something. Or I just will to believe that Jesus can get me out of this fix. Or can help in some way. During the Korean conflict, a chaplain said there are no atheists in foxholes. That's not really true. There were atheists who went into foxholes and came out of foxholes still atheists. There were people who went into foxholes as unbelievers, but in a terrifying, deadly encounter, cried out to God, but they left that as soon as they got out of the mess they were in. A lot of people will cry out in desperation, but it never goes any farther. They never see anything more than Jesus or God as a kind of vending machine. You pop in a prayer, and a candy bar or a bag of chips comes out. Okay? So we pray to God, and it's His business to answer our prayers. And of course, answer them the way we want to answer them. I remember a story about a group that had a concert. It was an outdoor concert, and it began to rain. Outdoors, okay? It began to rain. So they stopped in the concert and prayed that the rain would stop. Started raining harder. They stopped the concert again and prayed that the rain would stop immediately. At that point, there was a dam that broke way up high. It's raining harder and the water's rushing towards them. And one of the musicians said, no, run. So sometimes we don't get exactly the answer we want. Now, as we will go on through this, and as you see in other places, really believing, when we really do believe, not just the shallow, maybe he can do something, or he's obligated to do something because he's God after all. When we get beyond that, we recognize that God has infinite time, power, and wisdom to accomplish whatever needs to be accomplished. And when I pray to him, here I am, this little speck on planet Earth with a very limited perspective. And when I pray to him, he is so infinitely greater than not just than me, but anything that I can ask or even imagine, if I really believe, then I believe that whatever answer he gives me is the right answer, even when I don't understand it. But anyway, this guy comes to Jesus, and he's making this request. Jesus says, unless you see signs and wonders, you'll never believe. That seems like an accusation or a rebuff. I actually believe in the case of the royal official, it's more of a challenge. Is there something more to you than just seeing me as a miracle man? The man continues. He's been rebuffed, but he continues. Come, heal my child. And Jesus says, you may go, your child will live. And it says at that point, and this shows another stage in the man's faith, I think, the man took Jesus at his word and departed. He heard Jesus. That's another stage in faith when we can simply hear what he says and say, yes, Lord. Whatever you say. I don't even have to understand it. And he couldn't have really understood it at this point. I don't even have to understand it. See, he had been asking Jesus to come and heal his son. That made perfect sense in their world. I mean, no doubt Jesus would come and he'd wave his hands. Or maybe he'd touch the boy, something. Physical contact, that's always good, okay? And Jesus just tells him to go and his boy will be okay. When will he be okay? Tomorrow? Next week? Next month? Next year? When? As far as we know, the man asks none of those questions. He just goes. He takes Jesus at his word. That is a very important stage in faith where we can just take Jesus for what he says. Then we see faith maturing as the last stage. He's on his way home. When he had come to Jesus, the text is indicating he had seen Jesus around, well, early afternoon, seventh hour, which would be about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Making the round trip would mean he'd have to spend the night somewhere and continue the journey the next day. So the next day, he's continuing his journey, and some of his servants come out to tell him that his son is well. He asks, when did he become well? About the seventh hour. which means when Jesus at 1 o'clock the day before was saying, your son will live, at 1 o'clock back home, his son became well. Now that's impressive on a lot of different levels. One thing is it's a healing at a distance, but the other is it's very specifically timed. God's capable of doing that, you know? He doesn't always do that. In fact, in my experience, he doesn't do it very often. But in my lifetime, he did it once, at least. We were in a congregation where there was a little boy who was adopted by the name of David. David had been severely neglected as an infant, and because of that, he had no immune system. His immune system was totally shot. So any fever could kill him. He had nothing to combat that. One Sunday morning, the father and the other children come, but mom and David are at home. And at the end of the worship, Dad made a prayer request. He said that David had a high fever. We all knew what that meant. And so right then, we prayed, and I believe you ought to pray for what you want. Sometimes we make it all flowery and dance around what we really want. And we just prayed that God would heal him. Went home to lunch. During lunch, I get a call from David's mom asking me when we prayed for him. And I just happened to know exactly when it was. And that's when his fever broke. There's no one in that congregation that was not convinced that that was just God answering our prayer. Now, God is not obligated, because he's not a vending machine, he's not obligated to answer our prayers in such a obvious or such a dramatic fashion, but he can. Sometimes, maybe just because we need it, he does it. This man got his sign. Signs is not the best way to believe, but it is a way to believe. Jesus granted that. And the man's come a long way. He came from simply out of desperation coming to Jesus because he had no other hope, to simply taking Jesus at his word. And now finally, when his, you might say, his faith is confirmed through this answer, then we're told at the end that he and his entire household believed. It's the first time in the text that it said that he believed. And I take this to mean this guy really was on the road to a growing, dynamic faith. He now could, I believe, he now had the beginnings of seeing who Jesus was. You know, in the end, what Jesus offers us, the most important thing that he offers us is not stuff. The most important thing he had to offer this man was actually not the healing of his son. The most important thing that he has to offer later on in John 6 when he multiplies food, fish and loaves, the most important thing he had to offer them was not fish and loaves. In fact, later on, even in chapter 11 when he raises Lazarus from the dead, the most important thing he had to offer Lazarus and his sisters was not even raising Lazarus from the dead. The most important thing he had to offer them, and the most important thing he has to offer us, is himself. And already in John, we've seen so much of who that what it means to say he offers himself to us. John 1 says that he was the Word, who was with God and was God and became flesh. John identifies him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, the promised coming one. Later on, he is identified as the King of Israel, the Son of God, the Gate of Heaven. The Samaritans identify him as the Savior of the world. The signs in John are not simply meant to impress us or to offer us something. They are meant to offer us him, to offer a person. And faith John's favorite word in throughout John isn't the word faith. It's actually the word believe. But you have to ask, believe what? Believe what? That Jesus is a miracle worker? Good teacher? Believe what? Believe that he is God in a human body. That in him all the hopes and dreams of ancient Israel and all the hopes and dreams of humankind are met in him. And that in him, there and him alone, there is true hope in this world and in the world to come. Would you bow with me for a prayer? Our Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for the coming of Jesus into the world and that you allow us to work through stages of faith as we come more and more deeply to believe in Jesus, to believe who he is and what he can mean for all of life for us. Father, we thank you that in him, the Savior of the world, that you call us in him to yourself, that through him we can find hope to be with you for all eternity. Father, help us to look beyond the signs to the one to whom the signs point. Help us to live our whole lives in devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand as we sing song 300.